Welcome and hello again. I want to thank Marin for a fantastic Backroads radio show. We listened to that on the way up.
It was great. It was really great. You know, Marin hits this way in which I feel energized and yet mellowed out at the same time. So thank you. That's a good place to be for this show.
Yeah.
Out of the Box, which is coming up next here on KKCR.
Yeah, so thanks again to Marin. That was Ruthie Foster that we heard, last track going out, Full Circle off her 1992 Stages album. So, yes, we've got Out of the Box coming up. This is a special show today with Rick C., who's the producer. I'm just going to mostly be engineering.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. As Jonathan said, my name is Rick C., R-I-C-S-E-A-M-O-U-S-E. So, anyway, there you're dating yourself there.
That's not against the law.
I'm not yet. I'm sitting in for Jimmy Trujillo. Thank you very much, Jimmy, for giving me the opportunity to sit in for you today. We have
And best of luck to Manulea, who's going to be competing at the spelling bee tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So break a leg, S-I-S-T-E-R.
Or at least a pencil, you know, one of the two. But don't break your stride. That's the most important thing. So we're going to be doing a show today. I'm going to be hosting, and Jonathan Jay is here as my engineer and co-pilot. We're going to be talking about a really important and complex issue throughout the next couple of hours, and that will be free speech, which we enjoy here in this country, and the conflict we've been seeing recently with culture. So more about that in a few minutes. We got a little top of the hour business, and then we will go into some news and a council report and things like that. But we'll tease you a little more before that. Let's do the top of the hour. Jonathan.
So you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Thank you so much for joining us with your afternoon today on Out of the Box. This show is made possible by listeners just like you in partnership with some wonderfully fine underwriters here on the island, Kalaheo Chiropractic, Hawaii Gaga, the Lions Golf Group, and we have also some other announcements about some upcoming events.
We do. One of those is, what's that? What? We're getting our, I sound great in my headphones.
Yeah, you do. Let's listen to these underwriters so we can have the
those
show.
Announcements.
There we go.
God forbid, I yield.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services. Providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Auto accident, workman injury cases, and most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday. Now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center, 332-5580, or kalaheochiropractic.com.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
It's time again for the Kauai North Shore Lions Club annual golf tournament, Saturday, January 10th at the Makai Golf Course in Princeville. Registration starts at 6:30 a.m., followed by a shotgun start at 8 a.m., A golf ball drop has been added this year. Participants adopt a ball, which is then dropped from the helicopter in the practice area, as well as the usual fun events and contests. Entry fee includes lunch and lucky ticket drawings. All proceeds fund scholarships for North Shore students. More information online at KauaiNorthShoreLions.org. Click on Golf Tournament.
So thank you very, very much to Kalaheo Chiropractic, Hawaii Gaga, and the Lions. They do really great stuff on the island. And before we get into the show, I've always got to, it's very terribly critically important to do this.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
That's right.
They reflect ours and yours, maybe. Yeah,
well, you know, that's mostly true. Sometimes I say something and I listen to what I said and I'm like, wow, I don't actually agree with what I just said. So I try and keep an open mind.
Well, then at least we have something in common, you know, because a lot of us don't agree with some of the things you said half the time.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
It's really good. Now we see what we're coalescing now under this umbrella of certain commonality. Okay. And for the next trick, listen, what we want to do is we want to bring forth some items that are coming up in the community. We're going to do this for about 10 or 15 after the hour, then we're going to get into our subject, which, as I said, again, is talking about free speech and the clash with culture. That's how we'll go through the until 6 o'clock tonight here on Out of the Box. Again, I'm Rick C., and my engineer tonight is Jonathan J. So one of the things that's coming up that's really important to us here at the radio station, and if you're listening, we hope it's important to you, is the KKCR board meeting. And that will be on January 21st at 6 p.m. at the Kapa'a All Saints Church.
Yeah, that's that big red barn on the Malka side of the road.
Exactly, exactly. So that's something you may want to go to. I'm trying to pull it up. What is the date? That is a Wednesday. So 6 p.m., always interesting. And, you know, for a lot of people out there who ask what they can do to support KKCR, this is one of those things where you can show up, give your opinion, help join a committee, help in the process of making smart decisions. And
it's your radio station, folks.
Exactly.
You are the
exactly.
community. Yeah. This is a community radio station. If you don't like what you hear, get up and say so. If you do like what you hear, get up and say so. If you think that there's something that you'd like to say that you're not hearing, come on up to the station and we'll plug you in.
Speaking of meetings, so we got a 2-minute report from our reporter in the street, Jonathan Jay, about a meeting you were at last night about the upcoming, what are they calling that, the Kapa'a Heights development that want to put together?
You know, I'm not sure the exact name that they're calling the project now. It's an 800-unit housing development.
Wow.
It's about the size, just to give you an idea of the size, it's the same or more number of people who live in Wailua house lots, but because they're asking for an urban zoning, it's going to have a higher density. So it's 97 acres, and it's going to be about 2,000 people living there.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be hearing more about this in the future on KKCR, but Jonathan, tell us just briefly about the report, and then, of course, as I said, we'll be doing programs and on that for some time to come, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, the first thing that people should know is that the deadline for filing comments on this project is January 22nd. Mm. So a number of issues came up with the meeting last night, which I'll just very quickly go through. The very first one being filing an extension for extending the comment period. Major concerns that people had about it was traffic, because the existing roads are already chock full and choked with cars. So if you add 2,000 more people and 2,000 more cars, it's going to be even a bigger mess. They were concerned about waste disposal. They were concerned about, let's see, they want to know who owns the land. They want to know if there's clear title to the land.
Interesting.
So that was an interesting question, because a lot of times, you know, these were crown lands that that the sugarcane plantations were farming or working, and they had leased to those lands, but they never owned those lands. So that's a question. Where are the title to the land? Finally, people had questions about if we're going to allow a developer to upgrade the zoning of the property so that he can then make hundreds of millions of dollars of more money.
Or she.
But so often it's he.
It is.
Yeah.
I know.
But, you know, so they're asking for a zone change that will upgrade the value of that property, you know, easily $150 million. So if they're asking for $150 million of giving to them, what does the community get in response to that? How does that $150 million of excess value, how do we cut up that pie so it's not just the developer who gets a big fat belly, but everybody gets a piece of pie? So those are the main concerns that were brought up by that.
Oh, that's great.
It's very interesting. A nice chance to meet some neighbors and had some organic tangerines and tangelos, some good food. It was nice.
Nice. Very good. So, and thank you for your part of being a community volunteer to go down there and take part and relay back to the community through KKCR.
Just trying to do the things that need to be done.
All right. Awesome. So, again, we will be taking calls later, and those will be, I'm going to be keeping the calls to a fairly narrow focus into the areas of free speech and culture, the clash that we've been seeing lately. Since more recently, we saw it when the with the Sony film The Interview was released, and also, of course, with the murders of the journalists at Charlie Hebdo in Paris. But until then, Want to remind you that you can get any program that you want to hear on KKCR here again, or if you missed a certain program, go to the audio archives. Real easy to find the button right up there on the top of the page at kkcr.org.
Yeah, it's a really great resource. I go back there all the time and listen to shows that I did to see, you know, how bad I screwed it up, or also to catch shows that I heard were really good but missed. So it's really a great resource, the audio archive at kkcr.org.
Okay, and we got one more thing we're going to do. We're going to do the community council report, which another volunteer does every week and clues us in on what is going on at the council. We usually here at Out in the Box, we do that at the end of the program. Now we're going to change it up. We're going to do it here at the beginning of the program and let you think about that. And although that isn't the subject, we won't be talking about those issues today. This is something we wanted to try and put it in this our top of the hour segment at the beginning of the program. And
yeah, it's a good way for people to stay abreast of the current goings on the island.
Let's go right into it, and we'll be back in about 3.5 minutes, and we will then get more into our show.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in to KKCR today, your community radio station, and this is Out of the Box with today Rick C. Producing this show.
Thank you,
Jonathan. Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of January 12th. The council did not meet during the holidays, and this meeting has a lengthy agenda and will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the agenda. The Director of Finance transmits for council consideration proposed ordinance amendments relating to the operating budget, revising the amounts estimated in the General Fund, Highway Fund, Solid Waste Fund, Sewer Fund, and Golf Fund to meet the full annual required contribution for other post-employment benefits as prescribed in the most recent actuarial report. Full funding for the OPEB annual required contribution, and that's in the amount of $1,495,385. This is proposed draft bill number 2570. The Director of Planning transmits the Planning Commission's recommendations to amend the county code to adopt the Lihue Community Plan Update, which sets forth policies and recommendations for each of the three major communities in the Lihue District. This is Lihue, Pui, and Honolulu. This is proposed draft bill number 2571. The county attorney transmits for consideration proposed ordinance amendments relating to the county budget for the current fiscal year, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund to fund the anticipated special council budget shortfall in the special council account for the amount of $650,000. This is proposed draft bill number 2572. The mayor transmits for consideration and confirmation 9 mayoral appointments to the various boards and commissions, and this is also under resolutions. Councilmember Hoosier transmits for consideration a draft bill relating to a public nuisance relating to various types of air pollution. He also transmits amendments to the county code relating to the real property tax to freeze them for the 2015 year at the 2014 tax year amounts or less for certain conditions. This is real property tax relief for the 2015 tax year and is proposed draft bill number 2574. Council Chair Raposo requests the presence of the Managing Director and County Attorney to provide the Council with an update on the administration's fact-finding, investigation, and plans to address matters relating to the agricultural dedication process and the grading, grubbing, and stockpiling process. For committee reports, the Public Safety Committee has a request from Committee Chair Hoosier requesting the Chief of Police provide a briefing on the possibility of the Kauai Police Department purchasing and using body cams or similar recording technology, and this was received for the record. The Budget and Finance Committee has approved an ordinance revising the bond fund in the amount of $1.6 million for Moanakai and Ponokai seawalls. There will be a non-public executive session purposes to brief and request settlement authority in the cases of Dustin Moses versus the Department of Personnel Services and Ernesto Pajon versus the county. Also, the county attorney wants to discuss issues relating to grubbing, grading, and stockpiling on three properties. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for public hearings on Bill 2566 related to the Solid Waste Fund, Bill 2567 related to the Development Fund budget, and Bill 2568 relating to Integrated Solid Waste Management, and finally, Bill 2569 relating to electric vehicle charging stations. After the public hearings, the council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Thank you so much, John Gordon. He's a volunteer here at KKCR who does that dutifully for several years now, and it's a great public service. If there's something that you would like to help out with the station in terms of reportage on local events, please call the station at 826-7774 and find out how you can volunteer and get involved.
Thank you, Jonathan. So we have to deal with some pretty serious issues today, and some ones that are complex in the sense of our society, and left and right don't seem to line up the same way that they would normally, as we expect them to, the conservatives and liberals. I've had some of my friends that I think are near anarchists come down in a way that I didn't expect from them.
You have friends who are anarchists?
Some friends.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I want to give a salute in a minute to the people who perished in Paris, and but let's just start. You know, we are going to get into the subject with regard to the Muslim world and freedom of speech, and one of the things we're going to touch base on later in the show. My intrepid reporter Jonathan Jay has been reading the Satanic Verses, which you all might remember if you have some sense of the history for some 20 years ago when Salman Rushdie was they put out a fatwa against him. I think it was the Iranian regime did for one of his books, Satanic Verses. And more recently, and of course that was a conflict of freedom of speech and culture, freedom of expression. More recently, we've seen The Interview, the film that was released, was unreleased by Sony, and they finally did release it through a circuitous path. And then, of course, the murders at Charlie Hebdo in Paris. So I think our culture and the Western world got really thinking about this freedom of speech issue, and maybe freedom of artistic license. What's appropriate? What can we do? What should we do? Those are some of the things I'm going to hope that you're going to comment on here in the show tonight, out of the box. And I want to start off, you know, we don't want it to be so heavy, all of it. We're dealing with a serious subject. But on a lighter note, we'd had, you know, I don't know, what is it, about 4 or 5 years ago, we had a film that came out, was called Team America, World Police. And they did a parody of the leader of North Korea. And we have audio of that, a song. I think they were probably a little more on the side of, less on the side of completely tasteless.
I suppose it depends on what you think of the South.
Is that safe to say?
Maybe. I don't know. These are the same folks who bring us South Park, so they're pretty irreverent.
Well, I'm talking about the clip that we are going to use.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's go. We're going to go into that, this song. And again, this is a piece from that movie, and this is the leader. What was it? Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il.
Il, yeah.
Yeah, he's the father of the present leader.
Correct.
The son of the, you know, revolutionary leader in the 50s and 60s. And
exactly.
So he's the middle Kim Jong.
Yeah, so this was a song. And I don't remember a lot of controversy around this, but the whole film was so controversial, maybe it got lost. Anyway, let's go to that, and we'll come back, and we'll be taking your calls in a little bit right here on Out of the Box. I'm Rick C., here with Jonathan J., KKCR.
More people interrogating, like me.
I'm
so lonely, so lonely, so lonely inside, real alone. There's no one, just me only, sitting on my rental home. I work very hard and make up great friends, but nobody listens, no one understands. Seems like no one takes me seriously, and so
I'm Rory. A riddle Rory. Oh, riddle me. There's nobody I can relate to. Feel like a bird in a cage. It's kind of scary, but not really, because it's filling my body with rage. I'm the smartest, most clever, most physically fit, but nobody else seems to realize it. When I change the world, maybe they'll notice me. And until then, I'll just be Rory. Yeah, Riddle Rory. Paul Riddle me. I'm so Rory.
Yeah, that's a great sing-along if you know the words. I think that I don't think that people got too bent out of shape about that, because it was so obviously and totally, completely madcap ridiculous.
Well, it was a caricature.
It was beyond that. It was like it was freaking hilarious.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. So now then we moved into the interview, and we know that that there was a plot to kill the leader of North Korea.
Yeah,
and that was
Kim Jong-il's son. Now.
Yes. And so that was a James Franco film that came out recently, and there was a lot of controversy around that, and there was North Korea was in hackles about that, and
as you could well imagine. I mean, how funny do you think that even the Republican leadership in the Senate and House would think it was if the North Koreans made a comedy about the assassination of Barack Obama? I don't think they would think that was even the slightest bit funny.
So we're gonna take your calls in a little bit. I do want to segue to something that's important to me as a part-time journalist, as those of us are, to some degree anyway, here on Out of the Box and other talk programs, public affairs programs here on KKCR, and a lot of the other public affairs programs you hear throughout our listening area. There were 12 people killed by the Islamic fundamentalist murderers. And
I think you could just call them psychopaths.
They were
highly motivated, disciplined, militarily skilled and trained psychopaths. I think that's fair to say.
So I want to give a tip of the hat, and I had a friend help me with some pronunciation here, but I wanted to give a tip of the hat or a salute to these people who worked for Charlie Hebdo, and they knew that it was dangerous. Their office had been firebombed. They had had threats in the past. The lead editor had a bodyguard. They had police at their door, a policeman at their door. So killed in that attack was Frederick Boisseau, Frank Bronsolaru, Jean Cabou, Elsa Kaya, Stefan Carbigne, Philippe Honore, Bernard Marie. We had one of the Muslim police officers, ironically, Ahmed Marabet.
Really? Wow, I had not heard that.
Yeah. Mustafa Orad, who was a copy editor at Charlie Hebdo. He was Muslim, French, of Algerian descent. Michel Renault. We had Bernard Verlahak and George Walensky. Simon, and those were all those people I've named were killed in the name of cartoons. Now, whether they were offensive Whether they should or shouldn't have been doing it will be part of the discussion. I hope you'll join us for that.
I just really want to thank you very much for taking the time to read down through the list of names of these people, because in all of the reportage that I've heard, those people were just numbers. They didn't have names. We didn't take any time to reflect upon them as human beings. Everybody was so excited to get to make their point, whatever their reaction was about that event that transpired, that that they got glossed over. And so I just really want to appreciate and respect that you made the effort to just say their names.
There were four people wounded: Simone Gishy, Philippe Lancon, Fabrice Nicolin, and Laurent Sorcio. So, je suis Charlie. We are Charlie. So, we're going to open up phone lines in just a few minutes, and we're going to ask your reaction. I'm going to try and keep this focused on that subject. It's very complex, and Jonathan and I had a great opportunity to discuss it the other night. I think we spent an hour and a half just talking about this issue and related issues. That was very easy without even trying, exploring in different ways. One thing I do want to say before we open up the phone lines that I'm going to allow one call per show, so no double dipping, please. And getting into this, let's look at the larger context of this event. Some people would call it a culture war between East and West, and that the Western world has been subjugating, has been messing with the Middle East for decades now, centuries now. We drew our four Western forefathers and four mothers. No, let's be honest. Forefathers.
Again, it's really just the guys.
Trying to be politically correct, yeah, and sometimes it doesn't apply, right?
Well, yeah. No, because it's those
exactly.
White European men.
So we have now the culture war going on where we ruled their countries, we drew their boundaries, we want their oil, we've done what we need to do to keep control of that area. I think America has a control issue. What do you think?
I think that America has not just a control issue and not just a control subscription, but a vast library of control.
Yeah.
A full spectrum.
Then we look at another issue, which is hate speech. And what is hate speech in relationship to freedom of speech? How is that different? We're going to get into that in a little while. We also want to take this home a little bit. So let's say, you know, how do you feel if your culture is caricatured or there's cartoons about your culture? What would it be if there were cartoons about the Queen? Would that be something about Lily Okolani? Would that be something that you would find offensive and beyond the pale? We're going to take your calls. Open up the phone lines, 826-7771. Where's that toll-free number there, Jonathan? You know what?
You know, I don't know the toll-free number, and I don't...
Alrighty then.
Yeah, sorry. I don't worry about it too much, because most everybody has a cell phone today, and
yep,
like long-distance calls don't really exist on your cell. But
it's still minutes, I guess. No, you're right.
Yeah.
I get your point. Yes, well taken. Speaking of something important to say, we have Tommy in here answering phones today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, Tommy, if you weren't here, no one would answer the phone.
So, anyway, if you have thoughts on this issue, please call up and let us know. What is your reaction to the Charlie Hebdo murders? Did they have it coming to them? Did they push the envelope too far? Or did they stand up for their freedom of speech rights? And it's very similar. Although they don't have the First Amendment in France like we have here in the United States. They do have a long history of being, it's a Western value, I guess, I want to say, that where people can, art and culture art and speech can be expressed. And
yeah, I don't know if you could say that's exclusively a Western value. You have different cultures around the world that are more or less authoritarian. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the issue. Like, mm-hmm. who? Because everybody somewhere is free to say what they want. Like, if you're the king, you're free to say what you want to say. So the question is, how much of society is free to say what they want to say?
Right. I hear what you're saying. So here's a definition of hate speech. So freedom of speech, we know. We can say what we need. Well, then, where is that boundary? We know for a long time, for decades, it's you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. That's for safety. And in recent last decade or two, we've known more and heard more about hate speech and how that's been characterized. From Wikipedia, they say hate speech is outside of the law, speech that attacks a person or a group on the basis of attributes such as gender, ethnic origin, religion, race, disability, or sexual orientation. In law, hate speech is any speech, gesture, or conduct, writing, or display, which is forbidden because it may incite violence or prejudicial action against or by a protected individual or group. You know, I'm going to finish reading this, but Jonathan, can we put that the hate speech explanation by the ambassador from France?
Yeah,
can we pull that up?
That's ready to go whenever
Excellent.
You want it.
That's very good. Very good. Thank you. The law may identify a protected individual and protected group by certain characteristics. In some countries, a victim of hate speech may seek redress under civil law, criminal law, or both. Let's hear what the ambassador to France said recently on National Public Radio about hate speech in his country. And let's put this in the context that they've recently cracked down on hate speech in France. And this is going to deal with other issues. I guess if we have a six-minute clip here, we'd deal with other issues than that. But at the top of the clip should be his definition of hate speech. Stay tuned. 826-7771 here at KKCR. Yeah, we're waiting for that to come up. Not a problem. I'm wondering if there's anyone out there who really is strongly believes that that Charlie Hebdo, no matter what they printed as a cartoon, is something that should not invite any violence. Or, conversely, is there any thing that they could put in a cartoon that may invite violence, and is that justified? We have that clip now, I believe. Let's go to that, Jonathan.
French authorities today announced the arrests of more than 50 people as part of a crackdown on hate speech that's anti-Semitic or speech defending the attacks. Among those arrested was the popular and controversial French comic Dieudonné. He's been convicted numerous times before for racism and anti-Semitism. We're going to talk about this and more with the French ambassador to the United States, Gérard Araud. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good evening.
And how do you explain to Americans the distinction drawn in France between permissible, if offensive, free speech and speech that is punishable by law?
That's a debate that we have had with our American friends for some time, because of your First Amendment. For a long time, for instance, you know, we have a debate on the Internet, because you accept on the Internet that you could have hate speech.
Hate speech.
You know, yes. Apology of Adolf Hitler and so on, while it's forbidden in France. In France, the speech is free, but if it could lead either to a crime or if it could be seen as a libel. But it's, of course, under the control of the judge. It's to the judge to decide whether the red lines have been crossed.
What do you think the message should be to France's Muslim population, who have, many of them, been deeply offended by what they've seen in the paper, in Charlie Hebdo, and also have been the target of attacks, reprisal attacks, after what happened last week?
You know, in France is a country of 65 million of inhabitants. There are something between 5 and 6 million of Muslims, and I guess 99.9% of the Muslims are peaceful citizens. All the polls are showing their commitment to France. They are French. Most of them are born in our country. So the message that we have to send to them is that they are part of the nation. I do think that the main problem is not so much religious. The main problem is a social problem of integration. We have had a high level of unemployment for 10, 20 years. And as usual, you know, that's the immigrants are the first victims of unemployment. So they have a rate of unemployment of 20%, and which means that you have a lot of these youths, Muslim youths, who are excluded from the social life. And they fall into petty crimes, you know, drug trafficking or small thieves. They go to prison, and in prison they are radicalized. They find a sort of raison d'être, you know, in religion.
I want to ask you about new security measures that the French Prime Minister presented to Parliament yesterday, including anti-radicalization programs, more air travel monitoring, more monitoring of phone calls and internet communication, things like that. In hindsight, do these all appear to you as measures that should have been in place before? If they had been in place, maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Maybe, obviously, you know, there is somewhere something went wrong in our monitoring systems. The question is the balancing between the public liberties and the need of the police forces. And it's a very, in a democratic society, it's a very delicate balance that we have to find. This, we had one, and obviously we have to define a new one.
Does the French government give credence to the claims of responsibility for last week's attacks that we were just hearing about? Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula is saying, we ordered this. We are behind this.
That's one of the questions that we have to solve. You know, the French authorities have been expecting for some time a terrorist action. We have 5,000 radical youth. We have 1,200 young people who are in Syria or are coming back from Syria. They are trained, they are radicalized. I say 1,200 means that we have identified 1,200. Mm-hmm. There are more than that. So we were, sooner or later, unfortunately, we were fearing that something would happen. And what happened was, in a sense, maybe worse than what we were expecting, because it was done in a very professional way.
Well, let me ask you about that. Given what you've just said, we were expecting this. These attackers were men who were well known to French intelligence authorities. Charlie Hebdo, the target, had been targeted before, was under threat. Was this a real failure of intelligence here?
We are conducting an investigation, and we will see what went wrong. I think that something went wrong, and we have to adjust our capabilities. But, you know, let's say we have 5,000 radicalized youth. We are a democracy, so it means that we can't arrest them for their opinion. But it's impossible to monitor 24/7 5,000 people. It means you need between 8 to 10 agents a person. It's impossible.
Except in this case, of course, at least one of the attackers had been convicted of recruiting jihadists, had served time in prison.
Yeah, served time in prison. But even if you monitor them, it's difficult to know when they become dangerous.
Mr. Ambassador, you were not so long ago France's ambassador to Israel, and the number of Jews emigrating from France to live in Israel doubled last year, many people saying they're leaving France because they don't feel safe, that there's a dangerous and rising climate of anti-Semitism in your country. How troubling is that for you, and what do you do about it?
No, it's not troubling. It's devastating. It's devastating. The French Prime Minister said in Parliament yesterday that without the Jews of France wouldn't be France. And it would be a really major failure of the French Republic if we couldn't protect our compatriots. For some time, we have introduced in the curriculum of the schools, we have introduced teaching about the Shoah, we are organizing trips to Auschwitz, but obviously it's not enough.
All right, so that was the French ambassador to the United States, and that was in a National Public Radio clip from a day or two ago. Looking at the simultaneous experience in France, that they're actually grieving so heavily for these journalists who were killed exercising their freedom of expression rights, and the country has come out so strongly in the world in reaction, and a lot of the Western world certainly in support of them. And at the same time, they're cracking down on hate speech. I just find that really fascinating.
Well, what is hate speech? You know, hate speech, actually, I think it's really helpful to identify a couple of terms that we're throwing around pretty loosely. What is hate speech? What is terrorism? And what are the responsibilities that individuals have in society when they want to address issues? What are their responsibilities to be accountable for what they say, and to be what is an appropriate level of respect for people who are different from you, who come from different backgrounds, who come from different parts of the world, different traditions?
And then you get into the issue. And let me mention the phone line is open, 826-7771, if you'd like to make a call and be on the air here at Out of the Box. My name is Rick C., and I'm here with Jonathan Jay and Tommy, who's answering the phones. Happy to take your calls on this subject, a very complex issue. And we're wondering where you come down and what you think should be the way of the world. You know, how should we really look at this? How do you parse this issue? That is quite devastating. We talk, Jonathan, you bring up being polite and being respectful of other cultures. And I think that that is something that's ever more important, at least to me. I'm a baby boomer age, and I think this is something that our my age group has been trying to say. We need more understanding, more peace, more harmony in the world. So, at the same time, we value our free speech. And some people are insulted. For the folks out there listening who have not seen the cartoons that are of a lot of them are of the discussion or that incited the hatred to Charlie Hebdo and the Western world. We can go back into there was one in the Dutch had an issue a few years ago where they published one, and there was a big hubbub about that. Because this is a side issue. We'll get into it. But whether you should or should not depict Muhammad, and whether that is written in the Quran. But
one of the things I think is really important to understand about Charlie Hebdo and the kind of what do you call it? Not cartoons. They're political graphics.
Yes.
There's a name for that. It's escaping.
I know. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. To do when you're doing social commentary,
when you're doing
social commentary about stuff, I think it's really important to understand not just one or two images that they had, but the arc of their work and the context, the variety of issues that they brought up and critiqued, and because they weren't just like making cartoon art after cartoon about Muhammad or Islam. They were pretty deliberate and pretty diligent and pretty brave, I thought, at critiquing, for example, racist policies of the French government, nationalist, hyper-nationalist policies of the different political parties in France. They were very very grounded in their critiques of violence broadly, state violence in particular, and they weren't just casting stones at other people and other cultures and other places far away. They're also making very grounded, sober, well-thought-out critical commentary on their society as well, on, you know, how good the French government was doing at protecting social liberties or being oppressive or relying on violence to accomplish their political goals. So it's not the context that they're operating in, the body of work that they do, I think is really important. Is they're not just taking pot shots at somebody else's religion.
Okay, we have a caller. We want to get to that, 826-7771. And just before we do, I want to get the point that I went off on a little bit of a tangent there. I want to remind people that if you're interested in seeing some of the cartoons or the comics, the caricatures that insulted some of the Islamic world, you can go to Huffington Post and just type in Charlie cartoon, and you will find that on the Huffington Post site. You can look at those. And remember, in context, that Charlie Hebdo was equally dismissive or poking fun and making a statement about Jewish religion, the Christian religion, and all of those. And
yeah, so no sacred cows.
Yeah, that's what we say in comedy. There are no sacred cows because everybody's got to be the same, and you have to follow that. You can't have one sacred cow because then it doesn't work.
Well, because then you're picking sides, and then all of a sudden you're leveraging your position to make an attack there's a nefarious intention of what you're up to. So that's no good.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. Thank you, and welcome to Out of the Box.
Aloha, guys. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Excellent. What's your thinking on this whole issue of freedom of speech versus culture?
Wow, what an amazing question. And let me take 5 seconds first to say, guys, thank you so much. What you're doing day in and day out is protecting this very delicate question of free speech. And we like to think of ourselves as being in a civilized world where the pen is mightier than the sword, you know, and I think most people that I relate to would like to see, hey, if you got it, just like in the old schoolyard, you know, don't bring a gun, you know, bring a song or bring a piece of art or bring something, a piece of dance, bring something that's nonviolent to make a point. Because most people, I really believe in my heart, with aloha, would rather see these conflicts done without violence. So the reason I called in was to weigh in on your question. A couple of, you know, maybe 20 minutes ago now in the conversation, you posed the question quite simply, is do you think that any amount of graphic dialogue, be it images or cartoons or anything, does that merit violence? And I think most people listening would agree, no, this is not, you know, I mean, people, the freedom of speech is what guards the very gate of the wall where it turns either violence or do you express yourself in ideas or do you express yourself in violence? And, you know, the French, they've been really holding their own in terms of a first world nation, and their First Amendment right does not read the same way that ours does. But they do stand for freedom of speech. And so from that, for me, it says you go to, okay, you look at the extremists in the world. It's less than 0.1% of Islam. It's less than 0.1% of Christian. You've got these extremists. Doesn't matter if they're Christian, Jewish, Buddha, Allah, whatever. There's always these people that are super, super angry. And they are...
Or uptight, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is emotionally, they see a picture on the wall, and they don't have the same capacity to express themselves. So they go in and they massacre these people. There's no way any drawing in the world...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that they don't have the same capacity, but they justify their killing... Whatever action they take in the Quran, in this case, or in the Bible.
Super clear. I want to be super clear, guys.
Please.
I don't mean just Islamic extremists.
No, I understand that.
To the extremists of the world who see a picture. Now, it's different with Islam because it doesn't matter how you depict Allah. You're not allowed to depict Allah. Even if you have Allah with flowers around him, you're still breaking the most extremist principles of the Quran, which is their idea of God, is that it's so great that it's an insult just to draw a picture of him. Now, me, in my, you know, where I grew up and, you know, in what we call the free world, I believe in that. What'd you say earlier? You can depict anything.
Well, now, I read this afternoon two different commentaries. One was from Newsweek, and their point was the Quran absolutely does not forbid depicting Muhammad. And they, on their site, they actually had, on the article, they actually had a painting that had an image that looked like Muhammad with some followers. I don't know what they call them. Disciples is what Christian would call them.
But what is the caller referring to? Because I know that there's a long tradition in the Islamic world of not having
let me finish my point. And then in the same right after that, I read an article that was by ABC, our network television here in America, and they were saying absolutely, they that it has it may not be in the Quran, but as the caller is saying, there has been tradition for centuries that they have respected.
It's widespread to this tradition,
right? Yeah, and that exactly. tradition existed.
That there's a lot of Christians in this world that would take a hard line on something that the majority of us respected as free speech.
Yes.
Well, and you asked a very good question earlier. How would many Christian rightists respond to something that seemed to affront, you know, a Christian ideology or, yeah, Buddhist ideology?
Well, let's think about the, what was the film a few years ago? Who was it? The Life of Jesus, and I forget who did it.
Monty Python?
No. That was Life of Brian there, Jonathan.
The Life of Brian, but I think even more relevant would be The Passion.
Yeah, there we go.
Ultra-violent depiction of the life of Jesus, where a lot of people choose to view the life of Jesus as a peaceful person, somebody who was a prophet and, you know, wanted most people to get along. And then here was this graphic display of just gallons and gallons of blood. And I think if I had been a hard-line Christian, I think I would have been offended by The Passion.
The Passion of Christ.
And they did. They The Passion of Christ. And they did. They came out in droves. And for that level in the 80s, you know, that was a big display. Of course, now we get thousands of people all over the world. But I think, guys, what I really want to say the most, and I can appreciate so much that you put me on the air, is that no amount of expression, artistic expression, should equal the death of the artist. Because we know that there are many politicians there pushing buttons left and right. 1,000 people die here, 1,000 people die there, entire, you know, regions go down.
Sure, 120,000 troops go here, 80,000 troops go there.
They don't pick up their pen. They don't make a single statement, you know. So I think that overall, we need to guard our artists and our journalists. We, as, you know, as a big, you know, fan and supporter of KKCR, public radio, public knowledge, public news, whether it comes in pictures or words or songs, you know, we listen to great music and we get inspired about how the world should be that way. And I believe that artistic rights should be protected. At the same time, I have to add, if it's too, in terms of the line between free speech and hate speech, you have to look. If somebody issues a statement and the purpose seems to be to incite violence, I think that as humans, we should all take a stand against that. Make an artistic expression that promotes a solution, or if anything, you know, you can satirize something that's not working. But, you know, I don't know about the second publication. I believe in what the French did when they said, okay, look, now here's another picture of Muhammad, and now he's crying. Like, that brings a tear to my eye. You know, we all have to get together behind the artistic version, the vision of when we finally all say, this is funny.
Well, now, caller, I think what you're referring to, and for the people who have not seen it, as it's available on the Internet, the current new edition of Charlie Hebdo has the depiction of Muhammad on it, and he is holding a sign that says, Je suis Charlie. Thank you very much. Oh, that Jonathan, when he speaks French.
I know, it really does something.
But what's more important, as the caller points out, humor aside, it's poignant in the sense that this depiction of Muhammad has a tear in his eye. And above it, astoundingly to me, said, all is forgiven.
Oh, my brother, that is what brings chicken skin. Because that is what all of us want. That's what the 99% want. We know that this is all, like, messed up beyond, you know, fixing. So, like, come on. All is forgiven, man. It was just a picture. Let's not kill people. Let's not kill each other.
Is there anything that someone could say to you that, in wrapping this conversation up, for you, anything that someone could say to you or could write that you would see that would inflame you?
Wrapping it up, I would have to say anything that said death to the press.
death to the
anything
press.
Anything that truly universally attacks the freedom of expression, because that's how I get through my day, is I can talk to my friends and neighbors, and I can get on my social media, and I can express my reaction. And that's one of the things that really does work about the free world. Forget about corporations. Forget about money that runs over people like avalanches and tsunamis. The fact that I can still get up and toot my horn, that's America. That's the free world. You know, that's, you know, how the Hawaiian kingdom was built, was we all got a fair shot. And so let's stop playing favorites, and I think everything will work out.
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. And the reason I asked you is because none other than the Pope has made a comment, and he said recently on his plane on the way to the Philippines that he believed that people should not poke fun and provoke, I believe his word was, the translation was, other religions, and or any religion, I believe he means to say. And at the same time, he said if somebody insulted his mother, he would punch them. This is how they're quoting the Pope.
The Pope?
This is the Huffington Post this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Pope says he would punch them. And you know.
You know what? I like this Pope.
And they actually have a picture of him with his fist.
Punching somebody's mother or no?
Not their mother. Again, caller, thank you very much. 826-7771. We're going to hop into the top of the hour issues. I want to bring it back again to the question of what for you is too much? And can you understand how the murders, and I refuse to say their name, how the murders in Paris, how they were driven to this? And under what context can you understand that? And on the other side of it, let's look at should we support the type of provocative journalism, as Charlie Hebdo has been providing for many years in France. We'll be right back. And Jonathan Jay is going to take over, give us top of the hour, and we'll be back in a few minutes. I'm Rick C. Thank you.
You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. This is Out of the Box, brought to you every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. And it's just coming up on 5 o'clock now. We're going to thank our underwriters who are helping us in support with people just like you to pay for the electricity, to keep the lights on, to help us have the gear that we need to bring community radio to you. So thanks to Hawaii Life, the Hini Nui, and the Kauai Concert Association.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
The Kauai Concert Association and Berklee College of Music proudly presents the annual Berklee Kauai Scholarship Fundraiser Concert, Sunday, January 11th, 4 p.m. at the KCC Performing Arts Center. This year's concert features international vocal quartet Women of the World and visual artist and classical Indian dancer Rekha Menon. Also, music and dance workshops on Friday, January 9th from 3 to 5 p.m. All proceeds go to the Berklee Kauai Scholarship Fund. More information and tickets available at 245-SING or online at kauai-concert.org.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224-CQ, Moloa'a, K284-AL, Haleiwa.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Out of the Box with me, Jonathan Jay, and Rick C. And then this is also really important to play.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
So that's still true. And it's really important, too, because what that does is it allows each and every one of us to have complete responsibility for what we each say. You know, when Rick says something, that's his opinion. That's not like the official position of the institution of KKCR Quiet Community Radio. And the same thing goes for me, and the same thing goes for you, the caller. So,
being responsible, yeah. So we have a caller on hold. We have one phone line open, 826-7771 here at KKCR Out of the Box. Again, I'm Rick C., and Tommy's is answering the phones. Thank you very much, sir. What do we have? Oh, a couple things we want to mention before we get back into our subject tonight, which is free speech versus culture and the clash with culture. Appreciate your participation on the show, as you may desire. And I'm hoping to get a call from someone who has a commentary from a friend of hers in France that she would like to, she was going to translate and share. We'll hope we can do that. First, before we do that, I want to talk about the air conditioning.
Well, something even more important than that.
Even more important.
Even more. It's just so folks know, the air conditioning, since you brought it up.
Yes. Steal my thunder.
All right, now you go for it.
Well, what's more important? Go ahead, Jonathan J., ladies and gentlemen.
We have a report of a dog that has been found. It's a slightly overweight, don't laugh, don't make comments, it's a slightly overweight terrier mix. White and brown, white with brown brindle spots over both eyes.
It's a big bone dog. That's all.
It's a big bone dog. Has a blue collar and a license. And this was found near the Kapa'a transfer station. So if you live on the east side, maybe, or if you just were at the Kapa'a transfer station and you're missing your slightly overweight terrier mix white dog with brown brindle spots over both eyes and a blue collar, please call the station because someone has found that dog. And I'm sure that you and that dog want to get back to each other.
I wish you could have been more descriptive than that. But anyway, and if that dog were here at the studio, ladies and gentlemen, it would be panting a lot.
That's true, because dogs don't have sweat glands.
And humans do. And we, Jonathan and I and Tommy especially, we are quite aware of that here in this our nice little snug studio here without air conditioning. And we're just reminding people out there that we're doing a kind of a, just an independent little drive, trying to raise money to get a new air conditioning. And then it's really, seriously, it is not for the comfort of the staff or
absolutely
the programmers.
Not.
It
we,
is for the safety of
mind,
the committee.
Of we
the
don't mind.
Equipment, rather.
We don't mind sweating for you. In fact, that's what we sign up for. Happy to do that.
Wow, that's a bumper sticker right there. KKCR, we don't mind sweating
for
you.
Or how about we love sweating for you?
You know? Yeah.
Well, make it even stronger.
Anyway, you can always call the office, 826-7774. Anytime and catch somebody in there and make a donation. It's as Jonathan and I both did today.
Right.
Tommy's going to cough something up. I think he's got some food out in his car or something like that. That he's going to donate. We hope.
And it's not just Rick and it's not just me and it's not just Dave Giroux. I remember he ponied up some a couple weeks ago. And it's not a creature comfort. Just so you
unless
understand.
The dog is here, then it's a creature comfort.
The serious issue about conditioning the air in the studio is that electronic equipment is very, very sensitive to moisture and the humidity in the air. And because it's salt air from the ocean that we're surrounded by, it's highly corrosive and it damages the equipment. So it's actually a big deal. Every day that goes by without us getting the air conditioning system fixed again, all of our equipment is literally being eaten from the inside out slowly.
You listen to Out of Box. Let's go to our caller. Hi, caller. You are on the air. Welcome. Hey, caller. Are you there?
It is so important for this island. I'm too far away from France to do anything about the French Islamic issue, but I do live on Kauai, and I want all of us to remember that one of the reasons that KKCR got started way back in 1989 was for one of the reasons was to try to bring education and clarity to the issue of racism here on Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
It was ugly then, and as far as I'm concerned, it's not a pretty picture now. I want to tell a very short story. I attended a meeting in Poipu last week. It was about the Moku there. That Moku is, help me, Jonathan.
That's the ahamoku.org group.
Yes, okay. Many people were there. And there was a long agenda. And many of the people there were Caucasian, but there were a few people of color, which I was very happy to see because I attend a lot of meetings here on the island that have to do with all people, all races on the island, and yet usually only Caucasians attend.
I think there's kind of a real reason for that. And that it has to do not with the color of their skin, but with their economic status and the amount of discretionary time they have.
If I may, you guys, we're getting a little off topic, so let's stay focused as best we can.
Please. I have quite a bit to say, and you guys have talked and talked and talked about your point of view. I thought this is a call-in show.
It's on, as long as you're on target, as long as you're in this area we're discussing.
Okay. About racism.
Go ahead. No, if that I think you are. So go ahead.
So if I could please have my time.
Please, go ahead.
Thank you. One of the people of color, a male, had a T-shirt on that said something like this. I can't quote it exactly, but it said, "I'd rather kill a howley than a pig or a goat." Now tell me that that isn't expressing one's point of view on one's sleeve or shirt, to be exact. I congratulated the young man for doing that because this is a serious problem on Kauai. I don't know the reason. I'm not going to try to explain a reason, but it exists. So that's point number one.
Let me ask the question. Did you see the shirt or the slogan?
I saw the shirt.
You
it
did?
Was on a young male.
And the word kill, because I heard the same thing I had heard was the word have. I would rather have a goat and a pig than a howley. But you saw the word kill on there. That's important.
So. Something. It was very destructive.
Okay.
Well, the word kill, that's a pretty negative, violent, connoting
let's,
word.
Let's let the caller go on. Go ahead, caller.
So, just to I go along with the Pope in saying that it's not really a good idea to put down somebody's religion. And Krishnamurti, I don't know if you two people know who they are or who he is if your listeners know him, but he has been quoted many, many times. He's no longer with us, but he was considered a prophet for a long time. He said that naming anything such as a religion, i.e. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, etc., completely divides us and causes conflicts. This is such a basic, basic philosophy. As soon as we name and try to define something, it causes walls and wars, in my opinion. And that's what's going on. We insist upon naming and defining things. It separates us.
Use an example locally that you see where it separates us.
Christianity.
Okay.
Judaism. Hinduism.
Well, those are faiths. Use an example of where you think that the, you know, people using Christian, you know, Jewish values or beliefs separates us.
Just the fact that each one of those religions has a different method of defining their spiritual values and their spiritual God or whoever or however they want to describe that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, too, with the cultures here. As soon as somebody says, oh, you know that guy, oh, yeah, he's a stinking howley, or, oh, you know that guy, he's from the Philippines, we can't trust them. I run into this all the time,
all the time.
Mm.
Hmm. And it is so prevalent here.
Hmm.
I can't deal with France. I can't deal with anything outside of Kauai, quite frankly.
Well, thank you. No, we want to bring this issue home. And
yes.
Thank you for doing that. That's what, you know, we are acting locally, thinking globally.
Yeah. Now, I have one more thing that I'm real, real enthusiastic about to try to bring the cultures together. And they are meetings for the Moku on the island. And I want to announce one that's going to happen. It's for the Puna Moku, which is basically the east side of Kauai, from Kealia south to about Poipu.
No, it's from Nawiliwili down in there, Niamalu, Kipu.
Okay, Nawiliwili.
Yeah,
okay.
And it heads up just a little bit further north past Kealia to Kamalo Malo'o, which is just south of Anahola.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan, for defining that. Anyway, it's a very large moku, and there's going to be a meeting to discuss important issues that we need to think about as a moku and individual ahupua'a that are in the Puna Moku. And the date is, everybody write this down, we'd like to see you there if you're interested, January 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Lihue Library. That's in Lihue, January 27th. It's a Tuesday from 6 to 8. And thank you very much for your program, brothers. You're doing a great job. This is a fabulous topic. I hope more people call in, specifically about racism on Kauai, because it exists. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
that. You bet it. Aloha.
And I just want to let the listeners know that prior to the show, in the course of organizing it, I tried to find someone of the Islamic faith that I could have on the air, someone who lives on Kauai. And I went on the Internet, and the only one I found was one group or individual. And I wrote to them and asked them, told them a little bit about the show, and I got a reply that said not interested. As far as participation, I would really appreciate if we have some callers of the Islamic faith who live here in Hawaii. Call us up, 826-7771. You can be anonymous, but I would love to get your perspective, because we do want to bring this home, as the last caller said. We're about ready to take another call. We good to go?
Yeah, I do want to just make a comment on what the previous caller was talking about with the Aha Moku Councils. If folks want to find out more about that, you can go online to ahamoku.org. That's ahamoku.org, ahamoku.org. And that is coming up on Tuesday, January 27th at the Lihue Public Library. From 6 to 8 p.m.
So. Let's try and cover that again in the end of the show. Caller, hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Yes, hello, this is Isabel.
Oh, hi, Isabel. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Hi, Rick. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey.
Thank you so much for doing this, you guys. It's awesome. I feel like it was needed. It's kind of in the air.
It is. I think it has really stirred a lot of people up. And the point of this show is not that I get my opinion out there, or Jonathan does either. The point
is not my point to get your opinion out there.
The point is for people to look at their own opinions, their own conflicts, for us to talk together about how do we take on this issue? How does this move us culturally in a way that reaches down into racial tolerance here on Kauai, as the last caller was saying. Isabel, you, if I believe, you have a friend who lives in France, and do you have something to share for us?
Yeah, I do. I'm happy to read that if I can just take the time to do that.
Is it less than an hour?
Yeah, it's about 55 minutes.
55? Next caller! Okay. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Isabel. It's important. Now, this is someone you know, and this is their commentary. They are there. Are they in Paris?
From Paris and back and forth.
Yes.
Back and forth. Yeah. Before I read, I just would like to say that this whole event, I really search within myself, like, okay, I'm a human being. Where is that part of me that, where is that violence inside of me? My belief is a lot of us human beings, we have it in us. And then I looked at, that's probably why in religion there's so much, we talk about love so much. I recognize that a part of human beings being violent. And I was really searching, like, where is that part of me that would put me in a rage? And I found it. No, I found
very nice
different situation that would put me in a rage. And I'm not saying that to bring compassion to the murderers or anything like that. It's just that I get in touch with that. Something that would bring me to, I don't know if I would go as far as killing someone, but I tell you, if someone hurts someone from my family, it would be really like, I'm not sure. I don't know what would come up, and hopefully I will never have to make the decision. Mm-hmm. So I kind of recognize that rage, and I feel like being rage is such a very unique, it has to do with, it's such an individual thing, and there's millions of different ways of dealing with different situation, and so it's hard to put in a general thing, and religion is so it's so intense, and it's so, there's so much to it. So my vision of the two brothers who went ahead and got into this, I don't even know if it's rage. I think it's beyond rage. It's complete madness. And went that far. For them, what was happening in the newspaper, I see it as it was their sister and their brothers that were attacked in some way. How I look at it myself, you know, because I was kind of able to look at my own, you know, where is the rage within myself, you know. Anyway, my friend is, he's a very old-time friend of mine, and he is Parisian. And he's an artist and a choreographer. So I'll go ahead and read what he posted on Facebook. I translated the best I could. I thought it was just so beautiful and so right on. So he say, I am an artist, a choreographer, an artistic director. I am a prof. It's a slang for saying teacher for some students when I teach outside of France, and a teacher for others here in France. I am French and third generation Algerian. I have by my name some Syrian from origin. Transformation after the migrations of an ancestor to the Middle East and the Maghreb, the French colonization, here we are. I travel, the world is accessible to me. I have the means to live well on both an intellectual as well as material level. I feed my spirit with culture, life is comfortable. But it is so that my barbarian brothers jump from the corner of the street. They strangely look like my cousins from Algeria and from the suburbs. And always, I sense at first a burst of love in their casual smile explodes in my head. I think of some of my students from Marseille and other places. They are close to me, like kids, little brothers, students. And I sense in a burst of their dream of equal opportunity, all that is trampled in their rage, facing the split between hopes and republic and the abundance, the adjustment as politics attempt, the escape forward to be free. I sense the intellectual, sexual, affective misery, and it upsets me constantly. It revolts me. The social grief that touches us today makes us dive in an existential tragedy. These killers are our students. They kill our parents, our brothers, our uncles. And the grief becomes intimate. The loss, the suffering that I feel has a chance to be shared collectively. All the deaths, one we need to embrace and cry in collective rituals that we live, all the deaths from terrorism without distinction, all the death within us are propelling us in, yes, the political dimension. But in spite of the solidarity with the victims, I cannot help to feel shame, not for being French, but a shame of not being able to and not knowing what to do to work and share my part of responsibility. I am another, Rimbaud would say. But what to do in a radical otherness of the present? That's it.
Wow, that's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was really powerful, and I know he works with those kids, and it really hit me when he wrote that. It was like, I was like, yes, wow, these kids could be his own students that he loves, and also they're out there, you know, killing, you know, families.
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was really profound.
And as an artist,
right,
he probably
right.
has a connection to the journalists that were murdered.
It could be very possible. Very possible.
Well, certainly in his profession, and probably mm-hmm. in his heart too.
Right. Yeah, he's the one who would read this newspaper.
As someone who is French, Isabel, has this affected you in a way that you hadn't expected?
I observed that if this had been happening in Spain or in Italy or somewhere else, I observed that it affected me more just because I'm French. So I had more, you know, more emotional reaction and more interest in a way. And I observed that. I thought, well, it's closer to home. Just like if, you know, something happened to our family or my family, it's much closer to home. It affects
sure.
more than.
So
in that respect, it did. Other than that, violence is violence. It's, you know, I think violence is just wrong altogether. And your question about does any expression in cartoons deserve this kind of violence? I don't know if you use the word deserve, but I'm thinking, oh, no, like the first caller, of course, no, nothing deserves that. You know, I do understand that how offensive it was for them. Like I say, they treated that those cartoons was like attacking their sister, their mothers, and her insulting and her the inability to look at it with humor. I could totally understand that not everyone is going to be able to see with humor. I think it takes a lot of courage and strength to look at something like that and attack somebody personally and take it humorously.
As an American, I have only in the advent of these killings become aware of Charlie Hebdo. And I'm wondering, were you aware of that publication before? And if so, how did you or how did your community in general regard that publication?
You know, I was definitely aware of that newspaper. It's pretty well known in France. It's kind of newspaper. You could see somebody reading this in the subway in Paris when I used to live in Paris. And then I'm not aware of anyone I know who was reading it, you know, their relationship to it. I don't know that. I don't know that.
But, I mean, yeah. Is it something that is where you kind of you gulp and say, well, they got the right to do it. I don't like what they do sometimes. Is that kind of how it's looked at, or is it looked at as you know, these guys are great, how, you know, they're doing this? I mean, and I know I'm generalizing here, but I mean mm-hmm. the support for them. Of course, as we've known in the media, they went from a normal 60,000 a circulation of 60,000 magazines to they're at 5 million now and sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So the, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, and it's like there are you know, je suis Charlie, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
As you
yeah,
know, where we Charlie. I am Charlie. People in were really they probably weren't saying I love this newspaper. They were saying I support Charlie's and that publication's right to be provocative and mm-hmm. to play the part of in journalism that they have.
Right, yeah. And I think people have different reaction, and there's, you know, the newspaper Liberation. Probably people who read that probably enjoy Charlie Hebdo, but I think the main sentence is, it's only a cartoon, is what I hear from my mom even. She was like, it's only a cartoon. What is wrong with it? It's
mm-hmm.
just a cartoon.
Right.
So a lot of people see it as that. It's just a cartoon, people. Let's have fun with it kind of thing. You know, so that is very, you know, people can see it differently. I totally understand.
So what's your mother's sacred cow?
I don't understand this whole sacred cow thing.
Sacred?
Oh, it's an American idiom. It means something which it's not acceptable to make fun of or mock or critique.
My mom, huh?
Yeah, I'm saying, is she Christian? Is there something that would push her buttons where if Charlie Hebdo did a cartoon about that she would go, well, it was funny until they did that. You know?
I can't really think of it.
And I don't mean to make this so personal. I'm making a point, though. And
trying
to see where, you know, each of us has our limit. And each of us has our boundary that, when crossed, it may go against the grain of who we project ourselves to be. And we may find, you know, like you were saying, if your family is offended or you know, someone attacks your family, you know, that's what you're in league with the Pope. The Pope said he'd punch somebody who insulted his mother. Anyway, Isabel, anything else for us?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having this discussion. It's great.
I very much appreciate your participation. Thanks for calling out of the box.
All right. Aloha. Bye-bye.
Let's take a quick musical break so we can sort of digest some of the things that have been going on, and we'll be right back
real quick.
Out of the Box.
Thank you.
Let me shut the door.
Ready together.
Wow, here we are.
Thank you, Jonathan. Out of the Box. You know, the behind-the-scenes moments at Out of the Box. We do have two callers, as I was talking to Tommy about here. Two callers on hold. We'll be getting to your call in just a minute. Before we do, our intrepid reporter, Jonathan Jay, has been reading the book that I mentioned early in the show that about 20 years ago raised hackles of people in the Islamic world, and for which a fatwa, a death warrant of such, was signed in Iran by the clerics in Iran against Salman Rushdie. So Mr. Jay has been reading this book, and what we're going to do is he's going to read a quick passage, and then we will get to your calls here on Out of the Box. I'm Rick C. I'm sitting in tonight for Jimmy Trujillo.
So this is from Salman Rushdie's The Satanic Verses. He wrote it back in 1988, back in the kinder and gentler era. Maybe. Maybe not. But this is in the passage, a section of the passage of the book called Mahund, which I think is that's like a friendly term for Muhammad. I think it's another a variation of his name.
Go ahead.
At the end of his wrestling match with the archangel Gibril, the prophet Muhammad falls into his customary, exhausted, post-revelatory sleep. But on this occasion, he revives more quickly than usual. When he comes to his senses in that high wilderness, there is nobody to be seen. No winged creatures crouch on rocks, and he jumps to his feet, filled with the urgency of his news. "It was the devil," he said aloud to the empty air, making it true by giving it voice. "The last time, it was Shaitan." And this is what he had heard in his listening, that he had been tricked, that the devil had come to him in the guise of an archangel, so that the verses he memorized and the ones he recited in the poetry tent were not the real thing, but its diabolic opposite, not godly, but satanic. He returns to the city as quickly as he can to expunge the foul verses that reek of brimstone and sulfur, to strike them from the record forever and ever, so that they will survive in just one or two unreliable recollections of old traditions and orthodox interpreters. They will try to unwrite their story, but Gabriel, hovering, watching from his highest camera angle, knows one small detail, just one tiny thing, that's a bit of a problem here, namely that it was me both times, Baba, me the first and the second time too. From my mouth, both the statement and the repudiation, verses and converses, universes and reverses, the whole thing, and we all know how my mouth got worked. First it was the devil, Mahound mutters as he rushes back to Jahiliya, but this time the angel, no question, he wrestled me to the ground.
Salman Rushdie's, a section from his book Satanic Verses, for which he was issued a death warrant.
And I think the reason why that passage really goes, I think, to the core of the reason why a fatwa was issued, because he was writing about the way in which Muhammad received these fundamental truths, these witnesses. They were dictated to him by, as the story goes, by an archangel. And so Salman Rushdie is suggesting in his book of literature that perhaps some of those passages were dictated not by an angel, not by the archangel Gabriel, but by the devil instead. And so what he's doing is he's calling into the question, like, the legitimacy of specific passages of the Quran. So he's going right to the core. He's touching the third rail of what are considered to be fundamental truths of Islam.
Thank you, Jonathan. We got two calls at 826-7771 here at KKCR. We're glad you're listening tonight. Hope you feel like you want to participate. We have about 25 minutes left in the show, and I encourage you to call sooner rather than later. And tonight we're talking about freedom of speech and the clash of culture. Hi, caller. You are on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Aloha.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to start off by saying I was born in California, but raised here on Kauai since I was 4 years old. And I'm a white girl. I'm a Haole girl. I guess I'm not Haole that much anymore because I've been here long enough. But I'm a white girl, and I'm not of Islamic faith or of any specific faith. However, I have respect for all faiths. And as a child growing up here, I used to participate in dances of universal peace, which were Sufi dances,
yes.
Which were in Islamic song and chant, and very beautiful and very peaceful and completely from the heart. And I have the utmost respect for the Islamic faith, as well as all other faiths. And I feel that the problem on a global level, I don't keep up with current events that much. I hear bits and pieces. I listen to KKCR. I read the newspaper a bit here and there. I think most of the media is very, very biased. And I appreciate KKCR for that reason, because it's very real.
Biased in what way?
I feel like, well, I'm talking about mainstream. I'm talking about large media companies that run, like, I don't watch any TV, let's just put it that way.
Okay, sure.
I may listen to the BBC. I think that that's a little bit more to the point. I think that the truth is not often published. And for the reason mainly of greed.
Yeah, well, they're in the business of making money. That's their business.
Understood. However, the common thread here I see in what's going on globally as well as locally is that people refuse to look at the sameness in each other. They don't look for things mm-hmm. that they are the same in. They only look at the differences.
Yes.
And you know, we could look at any racial group of people, whether it be racial or religious or political, and criticize, but instead, if everybody looked at the common thread, like what's really going on, you know, like what we really need to sustain as a planet and as the human race as a whole, if people looked at the common thread instead of looking for what's wrong, then we would have no problem.
That's very well put. I really appreciate that.
If everybody were on the same page, I mean, sure, there's differences here and there.
So
if the Muslim people as a whole have been really discriminated against by the U.S. government and have been completely slandered by the media, if we look at the roots of those people's lives and who they really were and how hardworking they are and how the beauty in their faith and the simplicity of it, we could all take a lesson from that. You know, I don't really place any blame on any race for feeling. We all feel backed in a corner at points in our life. We all want to defend what we feel is right. But instead of looking at what the differences are, if we could all just agree on something, for something in common.
So now you are a Caucasian person who's grown up on Kauai.
Yes. And
you have come to this enlightened point of view. Do you believe that your experience here has helped you to to gain some type of awareness? Have you been challenged in a way? And can you tie it locally for a minute? And we got another call, but if you could wrap it up with that, I'd really appreciate it.
I would tie it into the local, into my life here, because I've grown up as being a minority and not, I wouldn't say discriminated against necessarily, but I had to keep my head up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be proud of who I was,
mm-hmm.
and find my way here when I was the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I see a very beautiful, beautiful community on Kauai. I see all races come together here. This is a very unique place. We could be an example. We could be sustainable, and we could be an example for the rest of the world if everybody just came together. You know, even listening to the political forum on KKCR, in the recent election, I was really disappointed to hear all the politicians picking each other apart and talking about what he did and what she did and how hurt they were by it. Why don't we just put all the differences away and focus on sustainability and moving forward to a better global community?
Well put. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your participation here on Out of the Box tonight.
Thank you. Aloha.
Call again. All right, we're going to have another call. Let's go right to it. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Well, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you, you and Jonathan, in particular you, Mr. Cooper. I got an email from you about this show, so I tried to get home as soon as I could.
Oh, great.
After work.
Yeah.
And to voice an opinion, to listen mostly. Like, that was a nice little dissertation the other caller gave before me, but you know, I've been taking a look at their cartoons, you know, Charlie Hebdo.
Yes.
And they're pretty offensive to a lot of different people, you know. And in particular, I remember seeing a cartoon of in France, it's illegal for the Muslim women to wear burqas, you know, those veils they cover their faces with.
Yes.
And it's illegal. And they had a cartoon of an Arabic-looking woman, dark-skinned, wavy hair, with a burqa up her behind.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making fun of that.
So, yeah, that doesn't seem too cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff they do. So, you know, being born and raised in Hawaii, we make fun out of each other, yeah, as local people, but we don't beat each other up, you know. And we don't take it to the extremes on race and... Sometimes we've got to be sensitive. Even though we have the freedom to say things, sometimes we have to be sensitive to others. And in particular, I kind of see what's happening in Europe and even in the United States. It's like a harvest of empire.
Mm. You know? Oh, yeah, reaping the wind.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened is that these countries like France, Germany, Italy, England, you know, the Northern European countries have a colonial history in North Africa and in the Middle East. And
yeah, they can't just walk away from that and pretend it never happened.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a backlash on that. And in Europe, I think France has probably over 5 million Muslims.
Yeah, 5.5 is what I just heard.
Yeah, pretty large, and they're the bottom of society. And so some of the young people who are disenchanted become easy prey to extremism.
Well, and, you know, the experience that France had with Algeria through the 70s.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's a brutal military occupation. That's, you know.
Yeah, you know, you're right, because, you know, France had occupied Algeria for the longest time. It was a colonial power there, and it had brutalized the Algerian people. There was a vicious struggle to get the French out of their country. You know.
So, caller, do you believe that Charlie Hebdo has the right to do what they did?
I think they have the right to express their opinion, but there's also responsibility.
Absolutely.
That you do, and so, like, for example, okay, I may disagree with you, okay, Mr. Cooper, you know, I'm a local guy, you know, but because I disagree with you doesn't mean I got to say you and F and Pauli, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? If I disagree with
sure,
you.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, attack you for your race. Yeah,
sure.
So that would be irresponsible on my part.
Yeah, you'd be free to be a jackass if you wanted to.
Yeah, like, for example, you had one previous caller talked about one of the local guys wearing one T-shirt that said that he rather kill one pig, or one goat. I mean, he would rather not kill one pig or one goat, you know, but he would rather take down one howley. That's irresponsible, too, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of grievances that local people have, in particular Kanaka, about what, America has done to them.
Well, as people in the Middle East have. Very legitimate.
Yeah, right.
Very
yeah.
legitimate
but They
position.
Have legitimate concerns, so it's not
Absolutely.
Like it's just dropped out of the blue. And then the other concern I get, too, is that, you know, what Israel has done to the Palestinians, you know, what Egypt has done to its opposition. They've got a lot of journalists in jail from Al Jazeera. The United States bombed the Palestine Hotel in Iraq with Al Jazeera journalists and Reuters journalists.
Yeah, not exactly a strong defense of free speech by the U.S. in this case.
Yeah, so there's a lot of hypocrisy by these world leaders about things, you know. But, you know, they're not really talking about the cartoons. They talk about the superfluous idea of freedom of speech as an excuse to clamp down, I feel, on these Muslim countries, which the United States is in, like in Iraq and Afghanistan and now Syria and Yemen, you know, is to justify our military exploits in these areas. And I just don't want us to be used as cannon fodder for perpetual war, you know. And, you know, if you watch all the network news, which I've been trying to do.
You shouldn't do that.
But in order for myself to understand what they're trying to say.
You should always know what your opponents are saying. Important
exactly
to know.
It. Yeah,
you
know,
I agree.
Unless they just keep saying the same garbage over
They say the same garbage over and over again with just a different variation, you know. But it's important to understand the various viewpoints so that we can make thoughtful positions. But in terms of making thoughtful positions, I just also wanted to announce that on February the 7th, at the public library in Lihue, the Lihue Public Library, the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice and the Kauai Peace Ohana is going to be putting on an MLK presentation. We're going to be showing a movie, MLK, A Call to Conscience, where he talks about not just civil rights, but he talks against the war in Vietnam because MLK was Martin Luther King Jr. was very concerned about war and militarism, and what the United States was doing. So he was a pacifist, not just in words but in deeds as well.
Yeah, he was connecting the dots.
Yeah, he was connecting the dots. Yeah, he was saying, how can we fight poverty at home when we're using all this money to kill other people that have never done anything to us.
I want to make sure I've heard you correctly. February 7th is the date.
Yeah, February 7th, Saturday.
I just want people to get confused because we have Monday coming up is Martin Luther King
Monday
Day.
Monday the 19th.
So I just want to, very good.
The Monday and the 19th, I'll be there. I'll be going to that along with Blue Dukes, and we're going to make the announcement as well for the presentation that we're doing. We're doing an MLK presentation, and we're going to be showing the movie, A Call to Conscience, narrated by Tavis Smiley. And it's detailing Martin Luther King's opposition to the war in Vietnam because he just didn't talk about civil rights. He made the connection with war and militarism, you know.
Yes.
And Martin Luther King was for, you know, not just fighting against the oppression of black people, but he was for fighting for all people, you know, in particular working people as a whole. And that's one of the reasons why he got killed the day he got assassinated, because the next day he was going to be leading a march of sanitation workers, you know. And he had a long history of fighting for the rights of workers, increasing their pay and better working conditions and fighting against discrimination on the job. So he was a person that linked up the issues of civil rights, workers' rights, and war.
And he was murdered?
He was assassinated, right? Yeah, we know that he was assassinated.
Yes.
And so the thing is
that's an act of terrorism, I'd like to... I don't think it was really called that back in the day, but...
It wasn't called that. But even that thing about terrorism, you know, anything that is involved Muslims, it's terrorists, but if it involves other nationalities, they're just crazy.
Caller, I really want to thank you for your call tonight.
Yeah.
Very cogent, yes. And well thought out.
Yeah, well, thank you. But I'd really like to make that announcement again. And
please
so
do.
On February the 7th, on Saturday, at the Lihue Public Library, there's going to be a free movie showing of Martin Luther King's speech. It's called A Call to Conscience, where he spoke at the at some church in New York City in Harlem, you know, where he gave his speech against the war. And he got a lot of the Democratic Party officials and people and Democrats like Johnson and President Johnson at the time, and a lot of other liberals all flustered because he made the correlation between civil rights and war. There's also going to be a Hawaii labor history poster presentation that's going to be put up, and we're going to be having music, songs of social justice by Blue Dukes, and testimony where people can come up and they can express their opinions. It's going to be free. It's going to be from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Lihue Public Library on February the 7th, and thank you for giving me the time, you know, because we're talking about locally, but we have to act. We're talking about globally, but we have to act locally.
Absolutely. And call it very briefly. Yeah. Is there something going on the 19th, Martin Luther King Day?
Well, yeah, I think it's being put on by some a group of it's like a council of churches and religious organizations that are putting something on over at the Lihue Neighborhood Center. And it's going to be from 11 to 1 o'clock, I believe. It's going to be a pretty good event.
I'm sure we'll be covering that type of item hearing about it more. And we'll hear from you again and more about the 7th.
I'm going to call back up again
very good.
About a week or so before make this announcement again. So thank you for giving me the time, and I'm going to go back and listen to your show.
Thank you for calling Out of the Box.
Bye-bye.
We have another caller. Before we put that other caller on the air, I just wanted to point out one other thing for people to think about, and that is the caller brought up that, you know, Charlie Hebdo was characterized it as stating their opinion. And it's true, it's not to, I don't think the caller was incorrect, except in if you look at the comics, and if you go to Huffington Post, one place I found them, Huffington Post, and put in search Charlie comics, you'll find them. Some of the cartoons are not an opinion. They're provocative. To me, they appear to be purely provocative. One of a character of Muhammad, deep kissing,
French kissing, I guess you could say.
Yes, you would in that country. And this, as a matter of fact, a Charlie Hebdo journalist, and who's wearing a T-shirt, and so it was two men kissing, and you know that I don't know if that's just pushing their anti-gay, or if Islamic Muslim people tend to be anti-gay. I think that's something in the Quran or something that's professed.
Certainly, but it's in the Bible.
Before I get myself in any more trouble, I just want to point out that there's a difference between opinion and provocation, and that's one of the issues we're trying to parse tonight here on Out of the Box. I'm Rixie, and Jonathan Jay's here, and I got Scott's here. We're going to put him on in for just a quick comment here, but we're going to go to our caller. Hi, caller, you're on Out of the Box. Hope you got a couple of minutes for us, and then we want to move on.
Yeah, isn't the whole the essence of free speech to enable provocation, to make you think?
I
completely and totally support Charlie.
I hear what you're saying.
They have the right to do it, and no religion has the right to terminate their life because these people either ventured an opinion or instigated a provocation. This goes beyond the pale.
I agree.
Just really briefly, in reaction to what you just said. So what I wanted, on my way to what I wanted to say, I'm now looking at a cartoon that my friend posted on Facebook. There are three male figures. They are seated on a sofa in the shape of an L. All three of them have extraordinarily bored-looking faces. And in front of them, on the floor, is a woman. She is completely naked. She is on her knees, and her elbows are on the floor, and her palms are on the floor. All three of these men have their feet resting on the back of this woman.
Oh, like she's some kind of piece of furniture?
Like she's a coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
The person on the left looks to be a Jewish rabbi, maybe the supreme leader of the Jewish faith, if they have such a thing. The person in the middle appears to be Muhammad, as was depicted by Charlie. And the person on the right seems to be the Pope. He's wearing a Catholic cross. He's got the little beanie on his head. And the Pope person is speaking in French. And maybe that French woman who called in earlier could translate. But this is what it sounds like to me, okay? He's speaking in French. He's saying, finalement, comma, finalement, comma.
Mm.
Sur l'essentiel, it is essential, comma, on est tout d'accord. And I don't know French, but what he seems to be saying is, we've reached a decision.
Yeah,
and
at least we agree about this.
We are in accord on one essential.
Right.
Sure.
We own women.
Yes.
And we do to women what we want to do.
Well, it seems fair. They're only 52% of the entire population of the world. So,
caller, go ahead.
So, taking Charlie and taking their cartoons and taking the right of free speech, why on earth would I argue that these religions and these people do not deserve to be lampooned? They deserve to be taken down in every single way that they can be taken down and made fun of and laughed at, because they are all ridiculous. The Muslim faith, the Catholic faith, and you know, even I'll even argue the Jewish faith, they are ridiculous in the extreme when it comes to their patriarchal attitudes towards the entire way of living their lives. So God bless Charlie, and God bless France for taking the initiative that us cowardly Americans practically refuse to take.
Caller, I got just another few seconds with you, but I do want to ask you the question. Is there something that's sacred to you? Is there something, you know, I have a lot of respect for the comedian Frank DeLima, because he doesn't have sacred cows. He lets everybody have it.
Yeah.
And I like that. He lets Howleys have it, and Chinese and Japanese and Hawaiians and Samoans and everybody.
Yeah, you know what? I got something sacred. Laugh at life. Laugh at life. Laugh at the ridiculousness of us human beings. Because if you cannot laugh, then you are lost, and everybody else around you is lost. Frank DeLima, God bless him. I don't think he's got a mean bone in his body. I don't care if he has a mean bone in his body.
Yeah.
You name it. The comedians and the satirists and the ironyists, go for it and keep on pushing the discussion, because this issue of one religion saying that we will kill you if you make fun of us, we will kill you, that has to be the most ultimate wrong thing, the wrong-headed thinking in the history of the world, and it cannot end soon enough for my
very
amen,
very
amen,
well,
brother,
very well,
amen.
And strong, okay, strongly.
Well, thank you for your show, and thank you for allowing me the
appreciate
time
that.
To speak.
And this is a conversation that we will continue here at KKCR. We have the responsibility to be a sounding board for the community. That's a responsibility we take is very seriously here at KKCR. And one thing I did want to bring up, we didn't talk about in this show, we will do it another time, and I'm going to have, then Scott's going to have just a moment to share some something important to him. There is another simultaneous thing going on. It's here we have Saudi Arabia is coming out and saying, oh, they condemn the murders. At this same time, they have sentenced one of their young men to, I think it was 10 years in prison, for and 1,000 lashes
for deigning to start a blog on people who might disagree with the Saudi Empire. Scott, what quickly do you have for us? I think you're a Sufi, and,
yes,
and tell me a little bit about what your point of view is.
Well, the Sufis come from Islam, but they have a completely different point of view. You know, like Omar Khayyam, Hafiz, and Rumi, they talk about love, and we say in Sufism, Ishkala Mabud Lila. That's Arabic for God is love, lover, and beloved. And, you know, the symbol of Sufism is the heart with wings on it, carrying love everywhere. And Sufis embrace all earnest spiritual paths. And we say that jihad is the self, you know, examination and...
Yeah, that's the battle within
the
yourself.
The battle within yourself to purify yourself.
That's real jihad.
That's the real jihad. And, you know, Sufis don't... you know, when you say, La ilaha illallahu, the Islamists say that means only our God is the God. But Sufis say, no, that doesn't mean that.
Yeah, it's a kauna. It's like a deeper meaning.
It means everything is God.
I'm going to leave the show right there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight. Out of the Box, it's been my pleasure.